We're continuing Chapter 2 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. And let's see where we were. They had just arrived home, it looked like, Harry and Dudley. The hall light was on. Harry stuck his wand back inside the waistband of his jeans, rang the bell, and watched Aunt Petunia's outline grow larger and larger, oddly distorted by the rippling glass in the front door.
Diddy, about time, too. I was getting quite... Diddy, what's the matter?
Harry looked sideways at Dudley and ducked out from under his arm just in time. Dudley swayed for a moment on the spot, his face pale green. Then he opened his mouth at last and vomited all over the doormat.
Diddy, Diddy, what's the matter with you? Vernon, Vernon!
Harry's uncle came galumphing out of the living room, walrus mustache blowing hither and thither as it always did when he was agitated. He hurried forward to help.
Anyway, you do the best picture.
Oh, do you like it? He hurried forward to help Aunt Petunia negotiate a weak-kneed Dudley over the threshold while avoiding stepping in the pool of sick.
He's ill, Vernon!
What is it, son? What's happened? Did Mrs. Polkis give you something foreign for tea?
Well, you're covered in dirt, darling. Have you been lying on the ground?
Hang on, you haven't been mugged, have you, son?
Aunt Petunia screamed.
Phone the police, Vernon! Phone the police! Diddy, darling, speak to Mommy. What did they do to you?
In all the kerfuffle, nobody seemed to have noticed Harry, which suited him perfectly. He managed to slip inside just before Uncle Vernon slammed the door, and while the Dursleys made their noisy progress down the hall toward the kitchen, Harry moved carefully and quietly toward the stairs.
Who did it, son? Give us names. We'll get them, don't worry.
She's trying to say something, Vernon. What is it, Diddy? Tell Mommy.
Harry's foot was on the bottommost stair when Dudley found his voice.
Him.
Harry froze, foot on the stair, face screwed up, braced for the explosion.
Boy, come here!
With a feeling of mingled dread and anger, Harry removed his foot slowly from the stair and turned to follow the Dursleys. The scrupulously clean kitchen had an oddly unreal glitter after the darkness outside, and Petunia was ushering Dudley into a chair. He was still very green and clammy-looking. Uncle Vernon was standing in front of the draining board, glaring at Harry through tiny, narrowed eyes.
"What have you done to my son?"
he said in a menacing growl. "Nothing," said Harry, knowing perfectly well that Uncle Vernon wouldn't believe him.
"What did he do to you, did he?"
Aunt Petunia said, in a quavering voice, now still sponging sick from the front of Dudley's leather jacket.
"Was it, you know what, darling? Did he use his thing?"
Slowly, tremulously, Dudley nodded.
"I didn't," Harry said sharply as Aunt Petunia let out a wail and Uncle Vernon raised his fists. "I didn't do anything to him. It wasn't me. It was..."
But at a precise moment, a screech owl swooped in through the kitchen window. Narrowly missing the top of Uncle Vernon's head, it soared across the kitchen, dropping the large parchment envelope it was carrying in its beak at Harry's feet, and it turned gracefully, the tips of its wings just brushing against the top of the fridge, then zoomed outside again and off across the garden.
"Owls!" bellowed Uncle Vernon, the well-worn vein in his temple pulsing angrily as he slammed the kitchen windows shut. "Owls again! I will not have any more owls in my house!"
But Harry was already ripping open the envelope and pulling out the letter inside, his heart pounding somewhere in the region of his Adam's apple.
"Mr. Potter," it read, "we have received intelligence that you performed the Patronus charm at 9:23 this evening in a Muggle-inhabited area and in the presence of a Muggle. The severity of this breach of the decree for the reasonable restriction of underage sorcery has resulted in your expulsion from the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Ministry representatives will be calling at your place of residence shortly to destroy your wand. As you have already received an official warning for a previous offense under Section 13 of the International Conference of Wizards Statute of Secrecy, we regret to inform you that your presence is required at a disciplinary hearing at the Ministry of Magic at 9 a.m. on August 12th. Hoping you are well, yours sincerely, Mapalda Hoffark?
Matilda?
Yeah, maybe Matilda. I don't know.
Matilda?
Matilda Hoffark. Improper use of magic office. Ministry of Magic. Harry read through the letter twice. He was only vaguely aware of Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia talking in the vicinity. Inside his head, all was icy and numb. One fact had penetrated his consciousness like a paralyzing dart. He was expelled from Hogwarts. It was all over. He was never going back. He looked up at the Dursleys. Uncle Vernon was purple-faced, shouting, his fists still raised. Aunt Petunia had her arms around Dudley, who was retching again. Harry's temporarily stupefied brain seemed to reawaken. Ministry representatives will be calling at your place of residence shortly to destroy your wand. There was only one thing to do. He would have to run, now. Where he was going to go, Harry didn't know, but he was certain of one thing. At Hogwarts or outside it, he needed his wand. In an almost dreamlike state, he pulled out his wand and turned to leave the kitchen. "Where do you think you're going?" yelled Uncle Vernon. Harry didn't reply, and Uncle Vernon pounded across the kitchen to block the doorway in the hall. "I haven't finished with you, boy." "Get out of the way," Harry said quietly. "You're going to stay here and explain how my son..." "If you don't get out of the way, I'm going to jinx you," said Harry, raising the wand. "You can't pull that one on me," snarled Uncle Vernon. "I know you're not allowed to use that outside the madhouse you call school." "The madhouse has chucked me out," said Harry, "so I can do whatever I like. You've got 3 seconds. 1, 2... A resounding crack filled the door of the kitchen. Aunt Petunia screamed. Uncle Vernon yelled and ducked. But for the third time that night, Harry was staring at the source of a disturbance he had not made. He spotted it at once. A dazed and ruffled-looking barn owl was sitting outside the kitchen sill, having just collided with the closed window. Ignoring Uncle Vernon's yell of owls, Harry crossed the room at a run and wrenched the window open again. The owl snuck out its leg, to which a small roll of parchment was tied, shook its feather, and took off for the moment Harry had pulled off the letter. Hands shaking, Harry unfurled the message, which was written very hastily and blotchily in black ink. "Harry, Dumbledore has just arrived at the Ministry, and he's trying to sort it all out. Do not leave your aunt and uncle's house. Do not do any more magic. Do not surrender your wand. Arthur Weasley." Dumbledore was trying to sort it all out? What did that mean? How much power did Dumbledore have to override the Ministry of Magic? Was there a chance that he might be allowed back into Hogwarts then? A small shoot of hope burgeoned in Harry's chest, almost immediately strangled by panic. How was he supposed to refuse to surrender his wand without doing magic? He'd have to duel with the Ministry representatives, and if he did that, he'd be lucky to escape Azkaban, let alone expulsion. His mind was racing. He could run for it and risk being captured by the Ministry, or stay put and wait for them to find him here. He was much more tempted for the former course, but he knew that Mr. Weasley had his best interests at heart. And, after all, Dumbledore had sorted out much worse than this before. "Right," Harry said. "I've changed my mind. I'm staying." He flung himself down at the kitchen table and faced Dudley and Aunt Petunia. The Dursleys had appeared taken aback by his abrupt change of mind. Aunt Petunia glanced despairingly at Uncle Vernon. The vein in Uncle Vernon's purple temple was throbbing worse than ever. "Where are all those ruddy owls from?" he growled. "The first one was from the Ministry of Magic, expelling me," said Harry calmly. He was straining his ears to catch noises outside in case the Ministry representatives were approaching. It was easier and quieter to answer Uncle Vernon's questions than to have him start ragging and bellowing. "The second one was from my friend Ron's dad. He works at the Ministry." "Ministry of Magic?" bellowed Uncle Vernon. "People like you in government? Oh, this explains everything, everything. No wonder the country's gone to the dogs." When Harry did not respond, Uncle Vernon glared at him, then spat. "And why have you been expelled?" "Because I did magic." "Aha!" roared Uncle Vernon, slamming his fist down on the top of the fridge, which sprang open. Several of Dudley's low-fat snacks toppled out and burst on the floor. "So you admit it. What did you do to Dudley?"
"Nothing," said Harry slightly less calmly. "That wasn't me."
"Was," muttered Dudley unexpectedly.
And Uncle Vernon and Petunia instantly made flapping gestures at Harry to quiet him, while they both bent low over Dudley.
"Go on, son," said Uncle Vernon. "What did he do?"
"Tell us, darling,"
whispered Aunt Petunia. "Pointed his wand at me," said Dudley. "Mum." "Yeah, I did, but I didn't use..." Harry began angrily, but...
"Shut up!"
roared Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia in unison. "Go on, son," repeated Uncle Vernon, mustache blowing about furiously. "All dark," Dudley said, hoarsely shuddering. "Everything dark, and then I heard things inside my head." Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia exchanged looks of utter horror. If their least favorite thing in the world was magic, closely followed by neighbors who cheated more than they did on the hosepipe ban, people who heard voices was definitely in the bottom 10. They obviously thought Dudley was losing his mind.
"What did you hear, puppy kitten?"
breathed Aunt Petunia, very white-faced and with tears in her eyes. But Dudley seemed incapable of saying. He shuddered again and shook his long, large blonde head. And despite this numb dread that had settled on Harry since the arrival of the first owl, he felt a certain curiosity. Dementors caused a person to relive the worst moments of their lives. What would spoiled, pampered, bullying Dudley have been forced to hear?
"How come you fell over, son?" said Uncle Vernon in an unnaturally quiet voice, the kind of voice he would adopt at the bedside of a very ill person.
"Tripped," said Dudley, shakily, and then... He gestured at his massive chest. Harry understood. Dudley remembered the clammy cold that filled the lungs as hope and happiness were sucked out of you. "Horrible," croaked Dudley. "Cold, really cold." "Okay," said Uncle Vernon, in a voice of forced calm, while Aunt Petunia laid an anxious hand on Dudley's forehead to feel his temperature.
What happened then,
Oh, wait. Who's... I don't know who's speaking. "What happened then, Dudders?"
Felt as if...
"As if you'd never be happy again?" Harry supplied dully. "Yes," Dudley whispered, still trembling. "So," said Uncle Vernon, voice restored to full and considerable volume as he straightened up. "So you put some crackpot spell on my son so he'd hear voices and believe he was doomed to misery or something, did you?" "How many times do I have to tell you?" said Harry, temper and voice rising together. "It wasn't me, it was a couple of Dementors." By the way, I have to stop here and say, like, Harry is terrible at explaining things. You don't say something like, "It was a couple of Dementors." You say, "It was creatures called Dementors who do blah, blah, blah." Anyways.
Yeah. I know.
"A couple of, what's this codswallop?" "Dementors," said Harry slowly and clearly. "Two of them." "What the ruddy hell are Dementors?" "They guard the wizard prison, Azkaban," said Aunt... Oh, sorry.
"They guard the wizard prison, Azkaban,"
said Aunt Petunia. 2 seconds ringing silence followed those words, and then Aunt Petunia clapped her hands over her mouth as though she had let slip a disgusting swear word. Uncle Vernon was goggling at her. Harry's brain reeled. Mrs. Fig was one thing, but Aunt Petunia... "How'd you know that?" he asked her, astonished. Aunt Petunia looked quite appalled with herself. She glanced at Uncle Vernon in fearful apology, then lowered her hand slightly to reveal her horsey teeth.
I heard that awful boy telling her about them years ago,"
she said jerkily. "If you mean my mom and dad, why don't you use their names?" said Harry loudly, but Aunt Petunia ignored him. She seemed horribly flustered. Except for one outburst years ago, in the course of which Aunt Petunia had screamed that Harry's mother had been a freak, he had never heard her mention her sister. He was astounded that she remembered this scrap of information about the magical world for so long, when usually she put all her energies into pretending it didn't exist. Uncle Vernon opened his mouth, closed it again, opened it once more, shut it then, apparently struggling to remember how to talk, then opened it for a third time and croaked, "So were... They actually exist, then, the Dementor what's-its?" Aunt Petunia nodded. Uncle Vernon looked from Aunt Petunia to Dudley to Harry, as if hoping somebody was going to shout, "April Fool!" When nobody did, he opened his mouth yet again, but was spared the struggle to find more words by the arrival of a third owl of the evening, which zoomed through the still-open window like a feathery cannonball and landed with a clatter on the kitchen table, causing all three to jump with fright.
Harry tore the second official-looking envelope from the owl's beak and ripped it open as the owl swooped back into the night. "Enough effing owls," muttered Uncle Vernon distractedly, stomping over to the window and slamming it shut again. "Dear Mr. Potter," it read, "further to our letter approximately 22 minutes ago, the Ministry of Magic has revised its decision to destroy your wand forthwith. You may retain your wand until your disciplinary hearing on the 12th of August, at which time an official decision will be taken. Following discussions with the headmaster of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, the Ministry has agreed that the question of your expulsion will also be decided at that time. You should therefore consider yourself suspended from school, pending further inquiries. With best wishes, yours sincerely, Matilda Hoffark, Improper Use of Magic Office, Ministry of Magic."
Spell her name.
It's hard to read because it's signed in, like, you know, scribbly. It looks like M-A, and then something that's like a really scribbly thing that could be an F or a P, maybe. And then an A-L-D-A.
Mathilda.
Supposed to be what? Matilda?
Mathilda.
Mathilda. Like M-A-T-H-E-L-D-A?
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. It looks bizarre.
And what's the last one?
H-O-P-H-I-R-K. That looks pretty clear. So I'm pronouncing... Hoffark.
Anyway.
Oh, that might be a K instead of an H. So yeah, Hopkirk sounds about right. Okay.
Anyway, doesn't matter, but I just...
Yeah. Harry read this letter three times through in quick succession. The miserable knot in his chest loosened slightly at the thought that he was not definitely expelled, though his fears were by no means banished. Everything seemed to hang on this hearing of the 12th of August. "Well," said Uncle Vernon, recalling Harry to his surroundings. "What now? Have they sentenced you to anything? Does your aunt have the death penalty?" he added in a hopeful thought. "I've got to go to a hearing," said Harry.
"And they'll sentence you there?"
"I suppose so."
"I won't give up hope, then," said Uncle Vernon nastily.
"Well, if that's all," said Harry, getting to his feet. He was desperate to be alone, to think, perhaps to send a letter to Ron, Hermione, or Sirius.
"No, it ruddy well is not all," bellowed Uncle Vernon. "Sit back down."
"What now?"
Why do you keep taking those really long pauses?
What's that?
You keep taking really long pauses tonight.
Oh, it's when I turn pages and then I get distracted. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get distracted when I'm reading.
Yeah, but you're doing it a lot.
I'm sorry. Maybe because I'm kind of tired. I'm not really sure.
Okay, then we can stop.
Well, I've been trying to figure out where a good stopping point is, but I don't know.
No, but you've like paused like so much. It's very distracting.
I'm sorry. Why don't we stop here, then?
Okay.
Does that seem like a good spot? I mean, the chapter's pretty long, and I don't know when else we're going to be able to stop. So, right now, Harry... So Vernon has just, you know, yelled at Harry to tell him to not leave. And Harry's about to tell the story to Vernon. I think that's as good of a stopping point as any in this chapter here. So.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, I love you, Kitty, so much. You're a very sweet boo.
You're very sweet, Kitty.
Have sweet dreams, kitten boo.
Sweet dreams, puppy.
I love you.
I love you too.
Good night.